Well, we have a very litigious society. Y'all know what that means, right? Somebody tell me what litigious means. David, my business professor friend.
Means that you run into somebody's back and it's got to call a lawyer.
All right. It's about the legal system. Okay? We are fast to get into lawsuits. Something doesn't go our way or we're hurt, we go get a lawyer. Or sometimes, even if we think we're hurt and we're not hurt, we go get a lawyer. Or if it looks like we're hurt, we go get a lawyer. There's a lot of times where, now don't we get it, man. There's times where it is right to go do that. And it's justified. And it makes perfect sense because people have been wronged and hurt. And sometimes the only way that they will ever get taken care of is if it gets adjudicated, goes through court and all that. Today we are going to look at a parable that invades our litigious sensibilities. Okay? Our proneness to feel like we have been wronged, our sense that the world is all about us being treated right. It is a parable that we wrestle with, I think, a lot of times, even though we know this is what Jesus said, we forget the forest for the trees when we look at this parable. Because a lot of times it confounds our sense of what we consider to be our sense of fairness. It doesn't seem like the things that Jesus says in this parable are fair. And I could see very easily, if this were to happen in real life in America today, that somebody would be running for a lawyer. See if you agree. We're going to be looking at the parable of the laborer's wages. And it's found in Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. So we're going to read the parable. And then after we read it, like always, we've got lots of things we're going to do in order to process it. Questions and observations we need to make. So here's the parable. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner. Now that's a pretty interesting statement from the very beginning. The kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like this. It's like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them out into his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. And he told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." Whatever is right. So they went. And he went out again at the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around. And he asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. And he said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." So the workers who were hired about the 11th hour came and each received a denarius. Notice that. So when those who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "Friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Now again, in our culture, That would really, really rankle some feathers. Because we live in a culture where football players make millions of dollars, where baseball players make millions of dollars, where people who go to a lot of school make a lot of money. Sometimes people make a lot of money who don't do any school, but they find the thing that they do right, and they do well at it, and they apply themselves, and they end up very wealthy because they work hard. And then we have people who do things, you know, shady things, and because they do shady things, illegal things, they make money too. Well, here in this parable, we have something that we got to wrestle with, because it says the kingdom of heaven is like this. And the fact is, there's a lot of us that don't like that the kingdom of God is like this. So let's look at some questions. First of all, what wage was agreed upon by the landowner and the workers early in the morning? One denarius. What wage was hired? Well, was agreed upon by those hired later?
Whatever was fair.
Whatever was fair. Whatever was fair. Whatever the owner said was fair. Okay. So he gets to choose what's fair. Question two. So what explanation did the last group of workers give when asked why they were standing around doing nothing? Why was nobody hiring these people?
Because they were standing around doing nothing.
Well, they're standing around doing nothing. Okay. Well, but everybody was. They were all, you know, this is the day labor pool. Okay?
Maybe they got up later. Who knows?
Maybe. Right. Maybe. So what else could they have been doing? Could have been. Okay, if they had it then. Could have.
Hunting for something to eat or looking for work.
Okay. I mean,
somewhere else.
They may have been sorry and done nothing. Okay. They could have maybe gone and tried to find something to do, you know, go around and say, do you need help today? I don't know. I guess they could have. Could have been. That doesn't seem to be a part of the story, but could have been. Okay. So how do you see this then as applying to people today? And let's not be quite so literal. Because yes, we have day laborers, and you know, and some people, that's the way they exist. Again, let's not get stuck in the forest for the trees. Okay. Okay. So the idea of equity and fairness is involved, at least for us, from our viewpoint. Okay. Obviously, that is not really the point in this parable. Because the parable about fairness. Okay? It's about something different than ensuring fairness. Okay? It's not about fairness. Now, there are other places in the Bible where you and I can find where it says that God is correct in his judgment and that he judges rightly. There's no doubt. I mean, it's there. It says that God protects those who are helpless. It says that he provides, you know, it says all those things. But in this parable, Jesus' point is not that God is fair. And we have to swallow that. It doesn't say that we would all be treated equally. Because in the parable, they weren't treated equally. And he's saying the kingdom of God is like this. That just, again, this rankles our sensibilities. It goes against a lot of things for us. Here. Yes, we are going to get there. Question three, John. So what did the landowner tell the foreman to do at the end of the day? Okay, pay them and pay the ones who worked last first. Why did he do it in that order? Do you think he knew it was going to rankle some feathers?
Yeah.
That is a fair application. Although I think the reality is, in the context, the original first hired folk were the Jews. God had handpicked them. They were his people. They were right about that. The only problem was, as much as, you know, maybe they, you could say did or didn't work hard, they had been hard at worship for lots of years. decades, centuries. The problem was they had to swallow the fact that God loved everybody and that He included everybody and was willing to reveal Himself to everybody, although He did start with them. But it didn't make them better than anybody else. And they struggled with that because of the things they did. They worked hard, we'll say. And now, Jim, you're right, in that there are a lot of Christians that get stuck in the same place. I've been a believer for 35 years. I have tithed to this church. I've been here faithfully. And when it comes to the ones who get to make decisions, I get to sit on the throne. Nope. Because it's not about fairness. It's not about rights. It's about something very different. The landowner told the foreman to pay them in this order because he had a teaching plan in mind. He had to confront something in those first employees that was a wrong notion. And it was the notion that they had a right before the landowner. That's a hard thing for us to deal with too. Forgive me for saying this, for getting into this, but I've got to ask you questions about the way you see God. We worship God because He's God. We don't worship God because He treats us better than other people or treats us specially. God is God, and He's on His throne. And we are blessed to know Him because He's revealed Himself to us, but it doesn't make us any better than anybody else. He causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust alike. The sun comes up every morning on the Iranians who worship Allah just like it comes up on us living in Savannah who know Jesus. Just because we know Him doesn't mean we are better or any more entitled than any other human being. We just have a great blessing of knowing that the God of the universe really does love us and has extended His grace to us. And we get to live in that. We get to enjoy the overflow of His Spirit. We get that. But it doesn't make us better or more entitled. And we can't tell God what's right, and we can't tell Him what to do. Question three, John. Oh, four, pardon me. Was anyone underpaid or cheated? John. That's right. That's right. Sorry, Jim. Okay, John. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But.
Yeah, it's true, too. That's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it wasn't, as Terry's bringing up as she's talking to you, it wasn't about giving anybody the opportunity to be a numbskull. It was about challenging those who felt in some way because they were first, that they were entitled to more because they had agreed. So the question is, was anybody overpaid? Okay, shouldn't have been for anybody after the first ones. First ones knew they were getting a denarius. Nobody else knew what they were getting. No idea. Dave.
Yeah, Rich, you see this a lot in group projects. And basically, you know, you always have people complain, oh, I started it first and, you know, I'm going to get the same. But, you know, here's the thing about it, though. There's two things about it. A, you get to choose the work. Whereas the people who come in last, they have to do what, you know, you assign them. You know what I mean? So in other words, you get to do the parts you really like. Right? The other thing is that, I mean, apart from the denarius, there's also the experience and the track record that you get from coming. So it's not just the denarius they're getting paid. They're also getting...
And they certainly are getting lesson. You know... Part of this, too, has to do with part of what's being taught in this parable that we'll get to in a minute is that there really is no way you can earn being in God's favor. Oh, that's that is a very real life application in the history. Okay, that was a historical record This is a parable. That's the living out of it. So does this parable make economic sense? Does it in any way fit with employers, unions, government regulations in the world that we live in? And how do our cultural values resist this idea? Okay, and it is the idea of grace. Yes, Regina. Oh, there are. Did you hear what Regina said? You know, the folks that believe if they do the religious things or the godly things or sometimes even the spiritual things, that then in some way obligates God to do things for them, to take care of them, watch over them, which are things that a father would do anyway, not because their children have done anything, but just because he's their father. But we get it wrong. It's that whole idea of works earning something with God. Yeah.
There's a flip side, which is people who are extreme who get sick a lot are doing something.
Oh
wrong.
Yeah. Yes. Which is the whole thing. The whole book of Jonah. Yeah. Oh, you're not getting on him. Well, then every time any one of us stubbed our toe, we would have to be looking around to figure out what we did wrong last, wouldn't we? Again, that's the whole focus of the book of Job is to essentially put that one to rest, you know, that it's not about sin doesn't cause it, can cause it, doesn't necessarily cause it, you know, bad things to happen. Sometimes bad things do happen to good people, to godly people. And there's nothing that they've done to bring that on. So we're going to focus on this idea of grace for a few minutes as we press on. We'll circle back to this. All right, question 6. So with which group of workers do you personally identify? Those hired first or those hired during the day? You know, you got to get that in your mind. Okay? Who do you see yourself as being? All right, let's go to 7. So what's the danger of thinking of yourself as a responsible worker hired early in the day? Why is it dangerous to compare your own situation with somebody else's? Number one, you don't know their situation. It could not, here's another one, okay? God's timing is far outside of our understanding. And why he would choose to be revealing himself to someone at the time that he does is his purpose. And if we look at it in the big picture, it's 11 o'clock, folks. We're 11 o'clockers. We are not 9 o'clock in the morning people. We're 11 o'clock. We're the 11th hour. That's who we are in time. Yes, Michelle. If I'm concerned about what God's doing for me, who's on the throne? I'm on the throne. If I don't get what I deserve, I'm going to assert myself, or I'm going to go take him to court. Or the whole idea, I'm going to get my rights. He's God. Now, he does right. He's perfect. And I don't understand everything that he does, nor why he allows the things that he allows. I don't understand. But I need grace just like you need grace, just like my grandfather needed grace in the 1940s when he came to Christ. And people in that same ancestor, spiritual ancestry going backwards, every one of them came to Christ the same way. They had to surrender their lives. There is no other way. And truthfully, from that point on, we are all debtors and we are all squatters, living where we live, experiencing what we experience based on the grace of God, because he's given us a place to be, a home to be. We're not more entitled. We didn't earn more. Question 7. It's tough. Question 8. So what would happen if God gave each of us what we deserve? Terry kind of brought that earlier. What would we deserve? And we'd be pretty miserable in the meantime. Can everybody remember the trajectory of their lives before Jesus? And can you remember how maybe it was 6 months, maybe it was a year, maybe it was 5 years? You look back and you realize that the entire direction of your life changed from that point. And you realize, I am not the person that I was headed to be because of the grace of God. And we're growing and we're learning and there's hope and there's future and there's blessing and there's promise. And now that stuff wasn't a part of the way I saw things before. And you see how God is good and you realize you have a lot to be thankful for. Even in the midst of struggle at times and trial and trouble. Yeah, Michelle. It is the hard, and I believe this is part of the lesson of this parable. Part of it is we have to trust that God knows what He's doing. We have to trust God. No matter if things don't make sense to us, that's fine. We have to trust that God has a purpose and a plan. Romans 8:28. All things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. That does not mean that everything's going to be easy, that it's all going to be my way. What it is if we will trust God, then it will be okay because of grace. John, we got one more? I can't remember. I think we got one more. So the point of the parable. What is the point of the parable? Trust God. What? Say it again, Jim. Okay. Yes, no one's more worthy than anybody else. I'm with there. God loves us all. Doesn't love us more because we're the early crop versus the late crop. You know, the reality on that too, if you want to really start playing with the parable, is, you know, maybe the landowner knew that the guys that went to the work in the 11th hour were going to get more done in that 11th hour than those guys that had been out there since 9 and knew that he needed those people. You know, we can really do a lot of things with the parable if we want to. Jim, the interesting thing about that you would bring that up, Jim, that Jesus would be the foreman who dispenses the wages, are that God planned for the foreman to die for the workers, and He did it gladly. So whatever responsibility was born in that case by Him. So that we could receive the grace and mercy. I think, you know, as you look at the parable, the one of the things is that when you receive grace, you get unadulterated grace. It's not watered down. It's not partial. And I don't get more grace than you. You don't get more grace than me. Getting God's grace is a full thing from the beginning. It's all there. There's not more, in a sense, that you can get than God's grace. It's not God's grace plus. It's it. That's plenty. It's enough. Michelle. Keep applying yourself to doing things the way the foreman modeled for you, as she was saying. That the workers, as workers, part of our responsibility in the way that we show our gratitude to the landowner, which would be God, would be by doing what the foreman showed us to do. How he modeled, what he said, which is very consistent. Dusty. I can hear you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dusty's point, if you could hear it, was that it had an evangelistic bent to it, because if you look at the order of labor, obviously Jews would have been first, which would have meant then Gentiles brought in later. But that the issue is, there's no indication that those brought in later weren't, see, again, it's our lens. We look at the lens, we think, why would anybody stand on a corner waiting for work all day long? There must be something wrong with them. That's our lens. That's our perspective. That's our culture that causes us to feel that way. But there's nothing in the parable that says there's anything negative about them. They wanted work. They were willing to be there all day long looking for work. And here what we have is, again, we're the 11 o'clock, we're the 11th hour group. That's who we are. And we were brought in and shared with in gracious ways that we did not deserve. Should I say anything else? Okay. Regina. There's nothing in this parable that says any worker didn't do their job. Every one of the workers, when they got to the field, they got to it from the story. So anything else you see that you want to share about this parable? It's a good parable to be looking at when you look at being thankful. Because like the question, a minute ago, if this is about God's grace and about the way that He expands His kingdom, and we get to be included in that, it is a get to. It's a remarkable get to, as opposed to a got to. All right, let's pray. Father, again, we thank You. We bless Your name. We acknowledge that You are the only living, true God. And Father, we come before You today to worship You and honor You, to say we understand that Your ways are best, and that, Lord, we are unlike You, that, Father, we don't see things the way You do, and we ask You to help us to be able to trust You when we don't understand, that we'll be able to trust You when things seem counterintuitive, that, Lord, we will be willing to place our rights, our desire to be treated fairly aside, and trust Your grace and Your mercy instead. Because You have demonstrated that over and over and over and over again. Lord, help us to be willing to include more into the kingdom. Lord, even those that would come at the 12th hour. And Father, help us to be excited about knowing and loving the God who knows and loves us. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.